podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Everton make it back-to-back wins in the Premier League. Back-to-back clean sheets. 1-0 against Southampton in a football match I'm sure we'll all forget very, very quickly after tonight. But it's a win nonetheless. First one since December in the Premier League at Goodison Park. Joining me to try and find something to chat about from that game, Mark Mosey and Rob Veer. Actually, do you know what? In fairness, you know, we joke there about how uneventful the game was. I think we should probably start with Jordan Pickford, who... Made two decisive moments in the match, the Richarlison goal, obviously, and then Jordan makes that save at the end. I'll come to you first on Pickford, Rob, because I thought, in general, his distribution was good tonight. He punched a few well, apart from that one at the end, which he flapped out, and he made a big save when he was called upon. And listen, I know you were saying after that game against Liverpool that we don't want to draw any long-term conclusions, but it was another big step forward for him tonight, I thought.
I think that it's very difficult for a keeper to have nothing to do. And let's be totally frank that Southampton attack is basically like a silent fart. You know, it stinks and you barely noticed it. And it's just one of those things where, you know, all credit to whomever, but I was just waiting for Pickford to have anything to do in that game. So it's tough in those moments to go almost 90 minutes and have nothing to do. And then right at the end, when the game is still kind of holding on by a bit of a thread, because you've only scored the one goal, to come up with a big save is key. And it felt, if you want, you could say that's the most Robin Olsen like game that Jordan Pickford's had on some level. Not that Olsen is perfect, but just the whole concept of the boring, you don't notice him sort of game for the most part. But I thought he did well in that moment. It looked like that Vestergaard was kind of falling over a little bit on that shot. Didn't really get everything on it, but it definitely was going in without the intervention of Pickford. And those are those quote focus moments that we have lots of questions about when it comes to Pickford. But hey, bottom line is at the big moment when he needed to kind of magically appear there, he did. I was bored to tears by that entire experience. It was, but at the same time, give me boring 3 points. I would have loved this boring 3 points against Fulham or Newcastle in earlier games at Goodison. So I'm made up. I'm made up on the inside. You can't tell it from the outside, but I really am happy about the 3 points that we got today.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it initially, Mose? Did you start with Pickford at the end there? Is that the crucial moment in the game ultimately?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good confidence building game for him. You know, all that lad wants to do is play nice, comfortable football across the back. He had a couple of good opportunities in the first half to find a couple of fullbacks with a couple of those like nice drilled left footer passes. It was all great. The commanding nature of the goalkeeper is what we need ultimately in the last 10 minutes. And I think he did that relatively well. Obviously, he was put under a fair bit of aerial pressure at the end. But I saw growth from, obviously, the derby and massive improvements on the games that preceded that. So I think absolutely fair credit to him. In terms of the game on a whole, I was quite ready for Everton to win a football game and not really get out of second gear. I think that the nature of our season to an extent has been extreme highs and equally devastating lows. And I'm ready for us to just dispatch teams who are, yes, poor. But as poor as teams have been who come to Goodison Park, we've always found some form of way to offer a slight olive branch and a way back into a game. And as much as an Evertonian, you can't help but watch games like this and expect the inevitable demise. there was a fairly stable level within me tonight that thought that we'll be fine regardless. There was occasional moments of tonight's match where I kind of looked away and did another task and occasionally spoke to my wife. And it hasn't really been that relaxed watching Everton in recent months.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that, Mark.
But there hasn't been those moments watching Everton in recent weeks where the level of anxiety has gone below a 9. And tonight I felt like that. I felt that there was a relative feeling of calm. I think the fact that Carlo Ancelotti hasn't made a substitution until the 86th minute, I think, in bringing Iwobi on. And yes, it's not ideal with the level of frequency of games that we've got at the moment. But I think it was just that feeling of this is fine, this will get us over the line, so let's not go overboard in terms of trying to be too dramatic, change too much. And I think Carlo Ancelotti at times has been guilty of trying a little bit too hard to try different formations and bring people into the game early doors. And tonight I was just ready for a run-of-the-mill home victory against a side who were not quite as good at football as us, and I think ultimately that's what we've got.
Just about, I'd say. Just about. Probably felt like that until 85. And then that Gineppo chance.
I think it was the Gineppo chance.
Flashes
yeah.
past.
Yeah, that was a chance. That was definitely a chance that definitely got my attention, too.
Everyone jolted up in the seats after nearly nodding off for so long. But
well, and by the way, look, we're as much as we're talking about how nothing really happened, I mean, we're able to do that because Southampton ultimately wasn't able to capitalize on a couple of chances, but really they didn't generate much at all. But it does speak to what you make yourself vulnerable to when you score one goal in this league or in any league. I mean, this is a sport that is increasingly less and less about grinding out 1-0 victories and more, you know, more contingent upon you being able to be slightly more dynamic offensively. But I thought it was weird because what's funny about it, the 1-0 in this case is I thought we actually generated some decent movement from an attacking standpoint. I actually thought our set pieces were pretty decent. I think that you're missing a little of, you know, maybe some finishing product on some of those set pieces with, you know, some of the injuries that you've got with Yerry Mina out, for instance. But I thought Keane could have scored 2, maybe 3 goals if he's not, if he's not like offside, or actually, I'm sorry, Mason Holgate isn't offside for that one. And I thought that header at the end, I thought he was going to get that on goal. I thought that was going in. But at the same time, I find myself sort of grasping for sort of things to look at here. But overall, we didn't play bad. I don't know that anyone really, really stood out. I think the big takeaway, if I'm going to take anything away from this game again in terms of the macro for the season or for this section of the season, is that Richarlison continues to score. Yeah. We've talked about this ad nauseum that I've felt very strongly that there's kind of a ceiling to this thing. If Richard, you know, we were very fortunate to make it this deep into the season as competitive and as well as high on the table as we've been with Richarlison having a poor goal scoring season, but his resurgence to me, and hey, he's your game winner tonight, right? His resurgence is going to be the difference between us having a 7th or 8th type of finish, or possibly, you know, pushing for a Champions League spot. Everyone above us had 2 games in hand before we kicked off tonight. And so this was that game that we absolutely had to win, and we got a goal from him. And so he seems like he's more engaged, and you see that when he scores goals, he is engaged in every other facet of the game as well. Yeah. And so I think it's critically important. And so that's probably my biggest takeaway from tonight more than anything else.
Yeah. I do love the first goal, because it's got the sort of, you know, it's a long ball forward, but then it's got the aggression from Dom to just bully that centre back, who I'm sure will be having nightmares about tonight, because I think he messaged me most during the game saying it's reminiscent of Duncan Ferguson against Roque Jr. against Leeds all those years ago, this, because that lad did not want to know. But there's a physical aspect of it where he just bullies him, then bullies him again, and then there's the clash on the composure, the pass from Sigurdsson, the finish from Richarlison. And I think Moe's in that situation. He knows he's going around the keeper. It's going to be a very tight angle. It's going to be quite a difficult finish for him. And maybe not the sort of composure he would have had and belief he would have had in himself a few weeks ago where he'd scored 2 and 20 or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole move was pleasing in very contrasting ways. I think I quite like it when Everton go relatively direct to Calvert-Lewin at times. There's a belief in him to win something and to actually make it difficult for a centre-half who, as you say, look just absolutely horrified for the vast majority of his game tonight. But I think the nature of the formation that we play in terms of having Richarlison up top, playing Gylfie Sigurdsson in a relatively advanced position is that you've kind of got to back those sorts of lads to pick up second balls and to be dangerous with it. It's no great surprise that when that ball does start bobbling around 25 yards out from goal, Gylfie Sigurdsson is operating in that space between defence and midfield, because that's how we've set up and we've done that because that's where he is at his most effective. So much has been said about Gylfie Sigurdsson recently at massively contrasting ends of the scale, but I don't think, be you a fan or a hater of his, there is anyone better in that squad, taking away James Rodriguez, obviously, tonight, that you would like to see picking that ball up 25 yards out with 4 or 5 yards of space in every direction and runners ahead of him. And I think if you set up those sorts of situations for him, then it'll be incredibly dangerous. His vision is unquestionable. And in situations like that, that don't necessarily need bucketfuls of desire and ambition to do all the running in the world, then that's where you get the best out of him. It's the artistic side of the game that Gylfie Sigurdsson will never, ever struggle with. And I think, yeah, you're dead right. I mean, the goal comes about through not only the ambition and the confidence of Richarlison following on from recent weeks, but also just the general positioning sense. How many times have we seen Richarlison pick the ball up out on the left, slow the entire game down, and ultimately be quite poor in possession? And he doesn't get the opportunity to be wasteful in those situations because he has that mindset when he's within the lines of the 18-yard box that if he picks the ball up, he's being direct and he's going at goal. Yes, the pass made that incredibly easy for him tonight, but it was almost that kind of Freddie Ljungberg-esque run that Richarlison has been so effective with in recent seasons. And
that's where you want him, isn't it? Between right back and right centre back in that little space, making that run. That is where he is genuinely at his best.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and I think when there was no doubt in my mind that when he took that first touch around the keeper that he wasn't going to score, because he is just in one of those clinical runs of form at the moment. And whilst it's going, we just need to totally buy into it and keep him there. And I mean, there'll be pluses and minuses to play in a diamond system, but I think the massive plus that you get is A, getting James Rodriguez or Sigurdsson into that central, dangerous, advanced position, but primarily getting Richarlison in front of goal. This game can be simplified in so many different ways, but putting dangerous finishes of a football in front of the goal is one of the ways to win football games. And tonight, he is a very fine margin between a very enjoyable and a very disappointing podcast.
Yeah, 100%. Just quickly rattle through some of the comments. CJEFC St. Alan was class, first game back tonight. We'll talk about him in a bit. Dave Mack saying Decore, man of the match, box to box. But thought he was a little bit wasteful on the ball tonight, Decore, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, we've also got Stephen Jameson, Pickford save and showed the point. Yeah, maybe we spoke about him at the start. Really, really pleased of him. Rory McGlasson started the game with the right attitude, won the game in the open third, points in the bank, 6 on Thursday against West Brom. And Robert Cannon, cannot expect to be top 6 if we continue to sit and rely on defence to carry us through games. Yeah. Where does the balance lie between strong defence and attacking flair? Surely it's not too lopsided at present. The thing I'd say on that, Rob, is just that I don't think Everton were ever going to turn up with the terrible run they've had at home recently and just batter somebody playing free-flowing football. It's got to be little steps, hasn't it? You know, they'll take confidence from this game going into the next home game and might open up a little bit more. We didn't have our main creator on the pitch tonight. You know, we had a few other injuries as well. So it was never going to be a free-flowing brand of football, was it? And I think recently Everton have shown that they're at the best when they play that. Let's nick a goal and sit in football.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I fundamentally agree with the notion that Everton can't get where they want to get in this league in this particular season, kind of leaning a bit on some of their strength, which I think in a lot of ways is their defense. I mean, it's sort of like if you were trying to, you know, you were going through the shouts for man of the match tonight. Some games it's hard to pick because everyone plays really well. Some games it's hard to pick because no one played great, but everyone was really solid, you know, defensively and so on. I mean, I thought the midfield generally was that way. I don't want to gloss over the fact that Allen hasn't played in forever and came back tonight. And I didn't notice him a ton, but I thought he was fine. I thought Andre Gomes was fine. I thought Doucouré, even when he's not playing, you know, really well, he's a little wasteful. I mean, Doucouré can be that way where he'll give away a few passes here and there, but his motor never stops. So that really helps. I think that, you know, in terms of the way that they're going to come into a game like this, all the euphoria of the last week aside, I mean, we'd lost two of three coming into this. And I think that not only do we have to stabilize our home form, we have to stabilize our form just in general a little bit as we get into this run, as we look to take advantage of these games in hand, which I know everyone's tired of hearing the words games in hand at this point. But I think that Southampton are the kind of side that for all the headlines that periodic 9-0 thrashing will get them at times, that they're really not the kind of side that you're going to go out given what we had on offer today in the starting 11, what we had on the bench and all these things, and just like you said, go out and batter for, you know, 3-4-0 or anything like that. I think you had to play smart. I think Everton overall did play smart. They didn't give up a lot of chances. I think that they put decent pressure on. They had bad, some not great finishing, you know, in the final third today. But I think it was all about just saying, look, this is a trend at home that cannot persist if we're going to get to where we want to be by the end of the season. And so we need to find a way to just win, regardless of how either entertaining it is or how necessarily dynamic it looks. It was pretty effective because, to Mark's point earlier, it is weird because we did have those kind of, you know, tense moments a little at the end. But throughout the game, if you're honest with yourself, they're about 85 minutes. We were up 1-0 and I didn't really feel that worried because I did feel like we had a pretty decent command of the game outside of maybe a 10 to 15 minute spell where, you know, maybe at the end of the half, where the first half where Southampton were starting to move it a little more. Maybe in the last 10 minutes of the game, Southampton started to push a little more, but they weren't really creating a lot of chances. So I think you've just got to be defensively and fundamentally sound. We did it. We got the 3 points. And again, I think Everton are going to have to really lean on their strengths the rest of the way through. We're all fully aware of the gaps that they have from an attacking standpoint. And I think that you ultimately have to lean on what you do best. It doesn't mean that you just put 11 guys behind the ball. I'm not saying that certainly, but I am saying that that there is probably an argument to be made that if you're going to go on one end of that pendulum or the other, Everton are not at their best when they are probably going a little too high flying. If they you know, because of the fact that they maybe can't generate as many goals as they like to think that they could. So I'm fine with it. I don't want to see 1-0 the rest of the, well, I'll take 1-0, I guess.
I was going to say, way,
but you know what I mean? Like, no one wants to see this kind of boring football. I get that. But, you know, tonight was fine. Let's also give Everton credit too. The big challenge for us is not just the home form. It's been, how do we play against sides that are going to, you know, in times let us have the football a little bit more, as Carlo maybe kind of Freudian slipped and said, you know, these bottom half teams, how do we play better against them? That's been our problem this season. And let's be honest, it has. I'll take any win we can get. It starts with this and hopefully we can build upon it.
I'll tell you what, Rob, the way they're defending at the moment, Yerry Mina is not going to get back in this side.
No, I was impressed.
Hey, I'm sorry. Did Jack Carlisle tell you to message that to me just then?
I've just said two clean sheets in a row. You know.
Hey, no, look, it's fine. Look, if we as long as we can continue to play Southampton and they don't shoot the ball at the net at all, you're right. I guess there's no point in having anyone in.
I'm only winding you up, mate. Come on, Moose. Sorry.
I was gonna say as. Now that we talk about James Rodriguez, and obviously I've only thought about him about 30 times tonight as opposed to the usual second. it's probably one of those games I'll come back now to think if he was playing, it would have been pretty devastating. Southampton were that passive and that afraid almost of getting that high up the pitch and allowing us the space in behind them. And obviously that led to Everton having a lot of ball across their back four and people like Alan being able to pick it up with ease. But tonight struck me as one of those games that we would have been able to get hammers on the ball quite a lot in a lot of good spaces. And it could have been a totally different outlook and a totally different result if that was to happen. But the nature of the season at the moment is that we do have to protect players. And I think a lot of us had slight shivers down the spine when we saw not necessarily the lineup tonight, but I think there was a cumulative age of 17 on the bench that you thought things could potentially get a little bit ropier. But I don't think that tonight's game is anywhere near as comfortable or, for want of a better word, as boring as it was if Alan wasn't in that side. And I think he totally dictates the rhythm of football matches. And as Rob alluded to, the fact that he's able to do that tonight on a night where he hasn't played for countless number of games. I think both him and Decore at times are a little bit ponderous on the ball. And sometimes you could probably forgive Alan for very similar reasons tonight for not necessarily firing off very quick distribution. But I think his ability to read and break up play is totally unrivaled in that midfield. And it just sets the shape up so nicely. And I know that we've tried something a little bit different tonight and maybe we found something that suits at least three of those central midfield players. But there feels like a very defined shape when he's there because the two either side of him are not overcompensating. There's an assurance and there's a confidence in Alan to do that central deep role. And we don't necessarily have to drop into his space and get in his way and do that for him. It allows people like Decore and Gomez a little bit more flexibility.
How's Tom Davis going to get back into the side if all that's true, Mark? I don't know.
Just on a, I know you're joking there, but on a serious point, is that I thought he did play well, Alan, tonight. But
no, he did.
I still don't like him as the deepest fella in midfield. I still feel as though
I agree.
If you're going to play that system, I'd want him to be one of the two, you know, horizontal points of the diamond, if you will, if that makes sense. You wouldn't want him at the very top of it.
That's all I know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there are a few occasions tonight where, you know, and this isn't just because he was back in the side because after a while, but I think when he was playing well earlier in the season, there was a bit of this as well. He does go hunting the ball. It's like he sees the ball and he goes to try and win it, and that can leave a bit of space. So I think what I would potentially like to see going forward, and you know, there's a lot of positive comments about Gomez in the comment box. Yeah. A lot of people saying he played well. So by no means you're going to just knock him out the side. But I think potentially with Davis sitting and Decore and Alan in front of him, that is something I would quite like to see going forward. But yeah, he was fine tonight. He played well, and given he played 90 minutes after 10 weeks out, I'd be very surprised if we saw him on Thursday in the starting lineup. Yeah. So might get a bit of a blower on Thursday. And just very quickly, lads, I know Rob's got a dart tonight, so we won't be on as long, but certainly not as long as we were last Saturday when people couldn't get us off this thing. But it does set us up, Rob, nicely, this, doesn't it? I think, you know, for Thursday, we're playing one of the worst teams in the league who I know beat Brighton at the weekend, but my word, they just about beat Brighton at the weekend.
I mean, yeah. Brighton have found ways to lose games this season that are just amazing to me.
And if Everton win that, they go into the top four. It's
unreal.
It's a huge enticement for them, isn't it, to be able to go to one of the worst teams in the league with our great away record and try and make something of that. Because that would, I think, if they did get into the top four, I think a lot of people would sort of take a step back, look at this, and go, "Yeah, this is a serious side now."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I've been on the top four bandwagon this season which is somewhat about us and the fact that I think we're clearly better than we've been, but I think
you came off it after Fulham, Rob.
I'm still upset about, I'm still not totally over that. Just because if we do, like, to your point, you know, we win on Thursday, we're in the top four. If we split our fixtures with Newcastle and we win that Fulham game, I mean, what are we talking about right now? I mean, it's just, it is, I guess you can't linger on that too much. But to your point, I think that the fact that we could be in the top four with a win on Thursday, I think it's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I think is probably a testament to the way the league is this season. And again, you can moan about that all you want, but it's an opportunity and we've got one. I'm excited by the notion that Everton are just relevant this late into the season. And ironically, it really has nothing to do with a cup run or not being in the cup or whatever, even though we happen to still be in one. I think that's a testament to what Carlo Ancelotti's done, but this is a real opportunity. And if we win Thursday, we're talking about winning two games against Southampton and West Brom that we should win, but that we've had these sorts of moments before where two games that we ought to win, we find a way to slip up. This can't be one of those games. You know, we had to win tonight. We have to win on Thursday, and that's just the bottom line. But someone in the comments was asking, you know, what bet would I fulfill if we finished top four?
And then I was someone gonna save that for the end. Yeah,
someone replied skydiving, and I just want to throw out there that will absolutely not happen. I will never agree to that. Primarily, and that should tell you how much I think that us finishing top four is a distinct possibility. So,
yeah, that's where we're at. Final words to you on that, Moj, before we wrap up tonight. And it wouldn't be top four. I haven't played a game more than a lot of the sides. We'd be on 26 points and ahead of West Ham, ahead of Chelsea, ahead of Liverpool, ahead of Tottenham, ahead of Villa. It would be a massive step, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an enormous momentum decider going into the last, what are we, third of the season now. I already look at the game on Monday against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and you can dictate the mindset of Everton in general, depending on the result on Thursday, about how we go down there and impose ourselves on one of the so-called better sides. Because if we go to West Brom and are pretty comfortable and teach Sam Allardyce a lesson, which would be nice, to go down to Stamford Bridge with that level of brashness and confidence about our game would be... It would probably favour quite a lot of our players and the setup that we've got in terms of how we've been able to do well on the counter and go to big grounds and win. We follow that up with games against Brighton and Palace, I think, in a couple of... Well, I don't know. If you beat West Brom and then you go and get some form of result at Stamford Bridge, then you're already looking at every fixture in the season and thinking, well, who's going to stop us? And that's the level of confidence and momentum that we're trying to generate here. And I think that's something that level of consistency, I can look back at our season in general, and then, as we've already said, there's enormous highs at the start and then some of the crushing games that we've mentioned against Newcastle and Fulham. I think everyone's just ready to see us do generic European contender form now. Let's just have five or six games, let's pick up four victories, let's look solid, let our dangerous players up top do the work. But the important thing is that we start to consolidate and build on results. I mean, two games in a row, winning, a couple of clean sheets, that's exactly what we want to see. Let's go to West Brom and just do the normal thing. Let's just go and box that game off. And then we can go expansive and try and generate a bit of excitement and play that free-flowing style that someone like James would really feed off at Stamford Bridge. But I think it's nice now to sit back on a Monday night, look at the league table, and there's no way you're looking anywhere below Everton at the moment. You're looking at where we can go. And that's all we ever ask of this football team when it gets to February, March.
Yeah, onwards and upwards. Just before you wrap up, we've got one comment from Luca Campanella, which I think is really interesting, saying, I'm an AC Milan fan. I know Ancelotti's teams very well. They tend to play badly in January and February. In March, they literally start flying. Don't worry too much. Got March off to the best possible start anyway. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Thanks very much to Mark and to Rob. Get your ideas in for Rob's forfeit for the end of the season if Everton finish top four as well. Comments on YouTube. You want to get in touch with me on Twitter at MattJFootball. Mark is at MoseyEFC. We are happy to focus group this entire thing and get as many ideas in as possible. So looking forward to that.
There's no snow to jump in this time.
For those of you who are listening on the podcast, Rob is vehemently shaking his head. But yeah, just a reminder as well, we've got tons coming up on the Blue Room Extra this week. Loads of games, loads of podcasts. If you want a little bit more from us, multiple shows every single day. over there. It's patreon.com/thebluerumextra. It works out about £1 a week.
I'll be on Tuesday's show with Ben Crawford tomorrow, the Monday show on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, yeah, the pesky Premier League messing it up, our schedule up again. So subsequently it'll be Wednesday, instant match reaction Thursday. We'll do a Friday weekly this week, just, you know, mix it up a little bit. But yeah, that's it from me. Cheers to Rob. Cheers to Mark. Up the toffees, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Northern Tool and Equipment isn't just a store. It's a problem solver's paradise. Fully stocked with the right professional grade tools and fully staffed with experts who have the right answers. Problem solved.
Northern Tool and Equipment Summer Sale is on now. Stop in and save up to 50% on pressure washers, sprayers, generators, fans, lawn and garden equipment, and more. Hundreds of deals in store or at northerntool.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.